Good morning, a Monday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Chartok. Good to be back with you, Alan.
You're back. Hooray, hooray. Everybody did a great job. Everybody stepped up. They got up early in the morning. And now they know how hard what you do is. I can't believe you do it every morning. You're up at 2 o'clock in the morning and work straight through. I mean, it's incredible. And you do a great job. And we're really glad to see you back. And we're very appreciative of everybody who did anything during your vacation.
Absolutely. And they did all their regular jobs as well. Lucas Willard, Dave Lucas, Jim Lavoulis, Ian Pickus, Jesse King, the producer, all of them. Thank you. And thank you for your kind words. We have things to talk about. Well, it was a way of certain things have been happening, including this buildup to the Mueller testimony coming this week. Jerry Nadler says he's going to show their high crimes and misdemeanors.
Well, as you know, David, high crimes and misdemeanors are defined by the Congress. They can be anything. And there's a recent poll. The American people say they do not want him by a huge margin. They do not want him impeached. They want him to serve out his term. And I think that's an interesting combination of the people who follow Nancy Pelosi's lead, who has been opposed to an impeachment effort. And I'm sure she's looking at the polls. So it's a question of, is she following the American people or are they following her? In any case, you now have Nadler, who represents the west side of Manhattan, and who knows very well that his people want the president impeached. So he is on the impeachment side, even though he is a follower of the speaker, obviously. Look, is it going to happen? I doubt it very, very much. First of all, you got the Senate, which is Republican, and is not going to impeach him, is not going to convict to impeach. So it may be futility. Look, I know an awful lot of people who agree with Nadler that he has engaged in high crimes and misdemeanors, that the firing of Comey and all of the rest of it add up to obstruction of justice. It may be. It's going to be tough to prove it. We have Michael Cohen, who has certainly implicated the president in very bad actions. It is a thing that we're going to ask Mueller to look at. The American people want to hear from him. They want to know. It's clear that he is loath to get involved in domestic politics this way. He can go up there and can say, I told you what I told you. Read the report. That's it. Goodbye. So long. Have a nice day. And he may do that. On the other hand, there are an awful lot of people like Chairman Nadler and others who are expecting him to do more than that. We'll see.
Is this risky for the Democrats? Could it backfire?
Oh, it could. Look, I think that the Democrats have some big problems. They have the so-called squad, the four women who were being attacked and who clearly the American people don't like the send them home, go home rhetoric. On the other hand, this is not a country that sees itself as a democratic socialist country. AOC, who I very much admire, makes that point. She says, that's who I am. You have Representative Omar in her district greeted with great appreciation when she returned home as a hero. So, as the old saying goes, the Democrats always form circular firing squads. Most Democrats, of course, and that's how come they took the House of Representatives, are moderates. So there is an internal split within the party that is not going to be pretty and could cost an election.
The president of the United States, Donald Trump, in the next election, some analyses show that he could actually gain votes in some of those key states in the Electoral College fight.
The New York Times said so, and it, well, could happen. This is going to be the election of all elections. If the Democrats can't mobilize their people, they will lose. We'll see.
Well, let's talk about Boris Johnson. Mr. Johnson, who is expected to become Britain's prime minister, says The Times, if he lands the role, he'll face perhaps the nation's greatest peacetime crisis there, Brexit, and despite his charm, many question his competence.
I don't know. All I know is that they're calling him the British Trump, and he does look like he has the votes within the Conservative Party to be PM. But there will be a wreaking of havoc because many of the people within the cabinet have already said, I'm not serving under him so long. Whether they're doing that because they know they weren't going to survive anyway, we'll see. Whether or not this leads to a change in government, a change in party, that's always possible. And it couldn't come at a worse time. In the Straits of Hormuz, the Iranians have seized a British oil tanker. They say they've done it because there has been no relief from the sanctions that have been put up against them. And they're expecting better. I think we are perilously close to ending up in some kind of a conflict. If they start seizing oil tankers, how long can it be before we are sucked into a war with Iran? One thing is clear, this guy Trump isn't going to leave the British floating out there alone in this Iranian situation. And that is how wars begin.
Puerto Rico, tens of thousands Protesters expected to descend today on a major highway leading to San Juan. The governor now says he will not seek re-election, Governor Rossello. However, he will still fight whatever impeachment process could come. They're in a firestorm over the governance, also over the leak of a vulgar chat room talk.
That's right, homophobic and women issues. He has said that he did wrong, and he has apologized. Hey, when that happens, you know that it's almost all over. The fact that he is culpable and has admitted that he is culpable of some major offenses has led to the kind of demonstrations that you see in Puerto Rico right now. It's a very bad thing for the Puerto Ricans who have had issues of the government and money and all the rest, and it is terrible for the country having troubles with you-know-who, the President of the United States.
Finally, Mariano Rivera, also Mike Mussina, and a number of others inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown yesterday. Of course, Mariano unanimously elected, first time.
Imagine that. You know, you got a bunch of sports writers out there, some of whom aren't the nicest people in the world. But in this case, unanimous. He deserves all of our congratulations and admiration. He was quite a closer, that's for sure.
Speaking of, we close our Alan Shar talk with us. Alan, thank you as always.
Welcome back, David. Delighted to hear your voice again.
And yours.